Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auditory Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi and I'm joined, like always, by George. Hi, George.
Hey, Wandy, how are you?
Not too bad. A little bit hurt, I won't lie to you, because of the results of the Monaco Grand Prix. But I am okay with the fact that George did decently.
Okay.
Okay, so you're becoming more of a Mercedes fan than a Hamilton fan.
That's not true. I'm always going to be a Hamilton fan. He's always going to be the love of my life. So, yeah. But I support the team greatly as well. And I think George is doing a great job. So, I can't complain.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'll ever be a Hamilton fan.
That's your loss, really. I can my condolences. It's the best I can do for you.
Well, I mean, no one, not anyway. Jeez, how's that crash?
Yeah.
With Schumacher.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, car splits in half.
In half.
Yeah.
But apparently it's designed to do that, eh?
They're supposed to split in half. You want that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people don't realize that it's a safety feature.
Yeah. Pity it wasn't a Mercedes.
Mercedes don't crash. That's the big
deal. Oh, Mercedes don't crash.
Yeah, no, they don't. They stay on the road and they finish.
You're going to eat those words.
let's see the rest of the season. But it was an okay race. I personally don't like Monaco at all.
Why?
I think it's
because Mercedes always loses.
Well, I mean, Hamilton has a few wins there. So
okay. You know. Well, that was when the car was working.
Well, it's getting
not his
there.
Driving skill.
We're trying our best, George.
but no, I feel for Leclerc. The team.
We need to stop giving him some slack. Honestly, at this point, I feel like Ferrari is just they're throwing away the entire.
No, I think the team let him down.
For
the
sure,
the team absolutely let him down in that tire change.
But it's every week. It's the same story. He should be winning a lot more.
No, I agree. I think he should be winning a lot more. But look at what he does when he's out front. He like literally just runs away.
Yeah, for sure.
But when he's in the pack, it's a different story.
No, agreed.
But I guess that's for everybody as well, you know, except Hamilton.
I mean, seven titles would say differently. Would you not say so?
Well, I mean, he's equaled the world's best, Schumacher.
He's beaten the world's best.
He hasn't beaten
him. In my opinion. I mean, every single other record.
No ways. He hasn't beaten Schumacher. Not at every record.
Pretty much every single record. Except the one record. Anyways, in a world of infinite choices, I think today's episode is going to be tackling one of the biggest issues with that. There's so many choices means there's...
To sell an F1 car. Because Mercedes is on the market. Look at Autotrader. Hamilton's selling his car.
In a world where you have so many choices, it's kind of hard to know what's the best thing to do. And I think with the market that we in, I think today's episode is kind of interesting. And we'll be answering one of the big questions that people, I think, have today.
What are we talking about?
What is the best way to sell your car?
You're asking the wrong person, you know, because I'm going to say autotrader.co is a...
Of course.
Every
of course.
Single time.
Of course. But I think we serve not just, one kind of buyer or seller. Mm. I think it's important that we also give context to the options that people have.
Autotrader.co.
Of course. So have you had an experience of selling a car? How have you in history, about selling your
car? It's difficult for me because of my 18 years at Autotrader.
Yeah.
I've obviously always been biased to Autotrader. I've always... in changing cars in the last kind of 2 decades of being here... I've only once sold to another consumer.
Privately.
I had a Toyota Fortuner.
Yeah.
And I sold it privately on Autotrader platform.
Okay. So I've never actually sold a car before. But I know that right now if I had to do it, specific to my sort of situation, there's probably one way I'd do it. But before I even reveal that, I think it's important that I give full scope of what happened. So there's 3 different ways that most people can kind of sell their car.
Mm.
Privately,
mm-hmm.
Through a dealership.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other online platforms that you can use to kind of go about
well,
doing that.
Well, let's talk about the principles, I think, that, in selling a car. First of all, you can sell your car to another consumer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's privately that you're talking about,
yeah.
Right? So you can sell your car to another consumer. And then you can sell your car to a business.
Yeah.
Okay. That buys cars. Right.
So a dealership or what?
A car buying service, et cetera, right? So you there's only two places to get rid of your car, offload your car, or sell your car. There's only two places. So that's the underlying principle, I think.
Of selling a car.
Of selling a car, yeah. And this person doesn't know I'm in the podcast. Let me get rid of that.
Call later. Tell me you're busy.
Well, I just said, can I call you later? I mean, nothing rang, but like.
You can pick it up. You can pick it up and give me a phone call. That's also an option. I don't mind. Well, you're my loudspeaker.
You're on the Auto Trader podcast. Welcome.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks for calling in. Exactly. So it's fundamentally two ways that you can sell your car. The one way is to a business, and the other way is to another consumer. Right. So let's use that as the fundamental base. Okay. Then people have created channels on top of those two principles to sell your car. Right. So let's rewind 10 or 15, 20 years. The predominant way that people used to sell their car
is by trading it in.
When they're selling to another business. So let's leave the private price. Sale okay. to another consumer out for a second. The primary way in which people used to, many, many years ago, sell their car to another business was the trade-in to the dealership. So you go, you find a car that you like, you have a car that you want to sell, and you do a deal. There's three components that happen there. We spoke last week.
It's almost like bartering. So it's specifically when you're like buying a car, you're also doing the sell at the same time.
At the same time. So they were very coupled.
Yeah.
In the transaction. So the deal had three components, a fourth one as well, but maybe we can call that 3A. Okay. The deal had three components. The first one was the car you're buying.
Yeah. Okay?
The second component was the car you're selling. Yeah. And the third component was how you're going to pay for it, the finance.
Okay.
Okay. And then the insurance was kind of 3A.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about that for a second.
Kind of spoke about that last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So those three were very tightly coupled, right?
Mm.
Along comes the internet. Makes everything transparent.
Before that, before we get into exactly how the internet changed that process, what were the big things that people were, or what made it change? Like outside of just, you know, kind of the convenience of the internet, what were the pain points that people were like dealing with?
Well, there was lack of transparency. Okay. So you took your car into a dealership to trade, and the dealership made you an offer, and you had really very few ways to check if that dealership's offer.
Yeah.
Is in line with market, market values. You had very little place to go and check before pre the internet and pre the transparency.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the problem, but you don't know what you don't know.
Of course,
you know. So Steve Jobs put it probably best. I think it was Steve Jobs. He said, you need to give people what they don't know that they want.
Yeah.
Okay. So in that world, people didn't know that they wanted to sell a car outside of the dealership. Now, we parked private sales, consumer to consumer. We'll get there in a second. So in essence, that was the only way to sell a car to another business, right? Back then, trading. Yeah. And dealerships thrived because they were able to structure a deal based on the car that they were selling to the consumer, the car that was being traded in, and then the finance itself all coupled together.
Yeah.
The internet decoupled those three things.
All of a sudden, everyone has all this information, which backs to the point. We're kind of bombarded by all of these options now, but what is the best way? And that's what you kind of leading up to.
Well, probably because at the end of the day, you know, Auto Trader has been known to be a platform for buying cars.
Yeah.
Like the brand is synonymous for buying cars in the mind of the consumer, right? Not for selling cars, except on the private sales side, which is a very small part of the market. And we're going to get there just now. There's a very interesting progression there. So the internet has created transparency around particularly values of cars and live market data. I mean, you know a lot about live market data, you know, and how it changes demand, supply, price.
Yeah.
So So now the internet comes and creative businesses, creative car buying services, creative auction platforms, creative businesses that partner up with dealerships in order to get consumers multiple bids on a car, you know, start up. And they leverage the transparency of the internet and the ability to create an online platform to tell the consumer now you don't have to trade your car in.
Ultimately, give the consumer more
choice.
Not necessarily more choice, but rather they now can get or take the option that best suits whatever they're looking for.
Yes.
Which is price and convenience are the two big.
Well, that's exactly
speed and price, really, more than anything else.
That's exactly what the car buying services did. They capitalized on convenience. They capitalized on price, right?
Yeah.
Because dealers always wanted, and to a large degree still want today, consumers to come to the dealership in order to trade the car or to buy the other car, right? In the world of transparency, the consumer wants you to come to them.
Yeah. That's kind of what we're experiencing now, is this idea that you can sell a car within like a day, really, more than anything else.
Well, I mean, that is our instant offer product, okay? Mm. So in saying that, creative car buying service platforms started to capitalize on convenience and price, right? We'll give you the best price. We'll get, you know, hundreds of dealers to bid on your car. Mm. Or we're a company that actually buys the car and we'll give you the best price, right?
Yeah.
Now, perceived best price, okay? And there's a whole other show on auctions and you know, potentially of what to do. This person phoning me again. Like, doesn't he get the text? I'm
just
in a call.
Answer the call, George.
Like the same person. Anyway, I'll call them back after. So creative car buying platforms came into the market and gave the consumer this perceived range of choices based on convenience. We come to you.
Yeah.
And then perceived best price. Okay.
Mm. Why do you emphasize this perceived aspect? Because you're only getting it from this one person. You're not.
Because of price haggling.
Okay.
Price haggling. Okay. So that's been a challenge, I think, that has plagued a lot of the trade side of the industry for a long time.
Okay.
Transparency gets rid of price haggling.
Yeah.
So what is it is, you know, you get an offer either via an email or a phone call.
Yeah.
But when the person gets to your premises, they try to push you down for the wrong reasons.
Basically trying to get the price down for
as low as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and now you've got this instant cash payment that is at the premises.
Looks
and
nice. The cash is right there.
Because right there, you know, chances are you're going to actually take it. Yeah. Because, like, you know, I just don't feel like the flipping hassle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so we saw this problem.
Yeah.
In kind of price haggling. So that's how we've built Instant Offer to, you know, try and get rid of the price haggling. You know, you're going to be made an offer more than likely. And if there are, if you're as a consumer selling a car and you haven't been transparent about the tires being too worn, right?
Of course.
The instant offer agent and the buying partner are going to arrive there and tell you your tires are worn. We need to take $5,000 off this value.
So these services have essentially ticked to the convenience side of things. But in terms of the consumer getting a best price or a fair price,
that's necessarily solved yet because the price haggling still carries on, right? Yeah. So the consumer is winning over time. You can see that. All of these businesses are relevant and the consumer is winning.
Ultimately, if you provide a service that's going to make the consumer win, that's the one that wins.
That's the one that wins, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so we also run what's called a blind offer model. Within Instant Offer, so people that make an offer on the consumer's vehicle don't see each other's offers, which means you can't game the platform.
Okay.
So trading a car in has effectively moved and been decoupled from the buying process.
Yeah,
and a lot of car dealers haven't seen this. Many car dealers have and capitalized on that decoupling. The car that the consumer is selling versus the car that the consumer is buying has been separated. that transactions have been separated. Let's not talk about finance because, you know, that's a whole new thing. So that's one way. And then you spoke about privates.
So let's talk about pros and cons then do you want to go into privates first before we talk about the pros and cons?
Wherever you want to go.
Let's do pros and cons. I think it's important to understand what the differences are. So privately, one of the big things that people always talk about is this idea that you may just get a weird, shady deal.
You're talking about privates.
Yeah. It just may be a shady experience altogether. So how does this take away from that experience? Is it just because it's an individual, or do you think it's because of anything else?
So, I mean, let's again rewind from a private sale point of view, right?
Yeah.
10, 20 years ago, most private deals were conducted through classified ads.
I've seen some shady ones as
print
well, yeah.
Classified ads.
Yeah.
It was you were
I was yay big.
You might have been in nappies.
I was yay big.
20 years ago, how old were you? Six.
I was 6 years old. Well, nobody knows.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
I know. Edit that out. So 10, 20 years ago, right, you would, as a consumer that wants to sell a car, and you don't want to now trade it in, you want to sell it privately because convenience and speed gives you a trade price. It doesn't give you a retail price as a consumer. You've got to understand that. Mm. Okay. Businesses make a profit in selling the car, and you've got to, as a consumer, be okay with that.
Yeah.
If you want retail price for your car, right?
You're going to have to wait a bit longer.
You have to wait. The convenience factor is not there, and the speed factor is not there.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to wait.
But you might get a better price.
Might.
Yeah.
Okay. So rewinding 10 or 20 years, print classifieds, right, started out in the newspapers.
Yeah.
Okay, so you would place an ad, print classified. Remember the classified inside of a newspaper, right? Mm. Along came businesses like Auto Trader, launched a very niche print classified in a book type magazine form.
Yeah. And now you have scale as well in terms of options as a buyer and a seller, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And the thing that made that not scale beyond dealerships buying cars, right? Because in those days, it was print classifieds, either newspaper, which then became magazines. And then on the selling your car to a business point of view, it was only the dealership by and large that bought cars, right? So you had those two options. But private sales never scaled in the print world to dominate and be more than dealer sales.
Okay.
And the reason for that is trust.
I was about to say, it's because you're still dealing with another human. It could be, once again, another shady option. It could be a guy who's just, you know, kind of lying about what's happening here. Whereas,
or wanting to steal your car.
Wanting to steal your car, yeah.
You know, and we do live in South Africa. So, you know, stealing cars is a hobby of some people.
They'd be really good at doing that.
Yeah, creative stuff. So those things existed in the print days, right? Yeah. Along comes the internet, makes everything transparent, as we spoke about earlier on, right? And private sales now transition. Digital transformation, private sales move onto the internet, okay, and become the de facto place to sell your car privately.
Yeah,
and again, creative companies start to leverage this, trying to enable consumer to consumer buying and selling. Mm. Right. Mm. Again, it never scaled.
Why is that? Because it seems trust. Like a, it seems like a kind of an obvious kind of way to go.
Trust.
People don't trust people.
Well, I mean, print classified, newspaper print classifieds, right, turned into horizontal classifieds online.
Yeah.
Okay. And horizontal classifieds are like Auto Trader is not a horizontal. Auto Trader is a vertical classifieds. We do cars.
Yeah,
and vehicles, nothing more. Whereas a horizontal classified does more than just cars. They do desks, chairs, everything, right? Yeah. So that's where most of the consumer selling went. But then as Auto Trader refined our consumer product, we were able to gain more momentum in private buying and selling. So now we've got the traditional sell it yourself. You do all the viewings, you do everything, which is the trust risky part. And then we've got a product called assisted sale, where we do the paperwork for you. We help, we vet the buyers, all that stuff. But again, it didn't scale.
What's the, in terms of the price, convenience and speed, what is the big difference between those two things versus an instant offer, for instance?
Well, I think, I think trust and speed are the two things that consumers just don't want.
Yeah.
You know, out of the private, they don't want to give up the time. You know, they don't want to take 4, 6, 8 weeks to sell their car.
Mm.
And then the convenience factor. So our assisted sale solves for some of the convenience factor.
Because we're doing all the paperwork for you.
All of that stuff. Yeah. But then if you have to, it has to logically be deduced that because that product doesn't scale, okay, that now, because now it's convenient, right? We've solved the convenience problem. It just means that consumers will give up price
for speed. Yeah.
I want the money now.
Okay.
So it seems to culminate in this fact, or should I say concept, that the money earlier
means
I'll give up some of that money.
Yeah. Well, the speed earlier means you'll give up some of the money.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. So what's the difference between instant offer? This will be the third sort of option. What's the difference between that now, between this?
Well, instant offer is another creative car buying service, if you want to call it, right? Yeah. But we've done it right.
Mm.
We've taken about 2 years to build this thing.
For the consumer, specifically.
With the consumer in mind, yes. Yeah. But still, the consumer's not going to get retail values out of instant offer because the speed is there. You can literally sell your car in the same day.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a few people who have actually used instant offer. Good friends. I actually went to a guy I went to school with, and he used instant offer, and he was kind of shocked at how quick it is. And I think
thought
a lot
you were
of people
say blown away.
Not blown away. It was just, I mean, I was, you know, it's kind of a weird concept to understand that you can sell a car within 24 hours. Such a big purchase.
Mm.
But that's what
it's
it is.
Because we've
now.
Done it right.
That's the world that we live in now. We've done it right. There's companies that can do that. Anyways, so what about paperwork in all of these? Does that have any sort of, you know, is the convenience still there in terms of?
Well, I mean, I think the paperwork factor has been solved by a lot of the companies that have come into the market. So the paperwork pain point is still on the buying side.
No, okay.
I don't know. The same dude now he's messaging me.
Just call him. Just let him. I keep saying.
No, I'm like. He's a friend of mine, and I think I know what he wants. He wants to get into my aircraft hangar.
So in a, you know, I think just go back to the topic of what's the best way to sell your car. It still kind of depends then if you toggling these different levels of convenience, price, and speed. That's kind of what you got to look out for before you make that decision.
You know, as a selling consumer, you have to decide what is it that you want. Do you want a marginal increase on the price of your car? So, right. So let's say the difference between selling your car today and selling your car over an 8-week period is 10%. Okay. Yeah. Let's say the margin in it for the companies that are buying the car is 10%, which on average probably isn't far off. Okay, is about 10%. So let's say you're selling a 300,000 rand car. Okay, that's a 30,000 rand difference.
Yeah.
Okay, now what you haven't taken into account in that 10% is reconditioning costs.
Mm.
As a consumer, if you want to use the 10% as a benchmark, you have to, your car has to be squeaky clean.
Perfect tires, no dings.
Exactly. Because the buyer of the car is going to refurbish the car potentially, get it up to a sellable standard.
Yeah.
And that's going to knock that 30 grand down off the 300,000 rand. Now, is it going to be worth you losing out? Because another factor now is the pressure on the consumer because they've found the car that they want.
Yeah.
And that car is going to get sold.
Yeah.
So I'm under pressure to sell my car now.
So you can pay for the one
I want to
buy.
For the one I want to buy.
I see. Wow, that's, yeah. I mean, yeah, it is really just a balancing act of what works for you and what you need at that moment.
Exactly.
But ultimately, there are tons of options that you have now, and you just kind of need to, you know, weigh up the options and see which one, you know, works for your situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much, what's the best way to sell a car? I think it depends.
Auto Trader.
Auto Trader is basically the best way to do it. And if you want the options, all the options are there.
Exactly.
But yeah, thanks again for another show, George. It was a good one.
See you next time. Hamilton losing.
Ever, ever.